You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Hamas appears to have improved its cyber attack capabilities. Egypt is believed to be ramping up internet surveillance. ISIS sympathizers are being targeted with Android malware delivered over Telegram. The U.S. increasingly integrates cyber into kinetic military operations. Russia is suspected of hacking the Italian Foreign Ministry. And in industry news, RSA opens in San Francisco with the annual Innovation Sandbox. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, February 13, 2017. Some state conflicts surfaced in cyberspace late last week and over the weekend. Palo Alto Networks reports an increase in activity on the part of the Hamas-associated Gaza cyber gang. Phishing campaigns aim at installing spyware in victim computers. The targets are in Israel and various Arab countries. Palo Alto characterizes the campaign's technical sophistication as relatively high. As so often happens, the attackers inadvertently aroused suspicions with poor proofreading. ISIS sympathizers are being targeted by Android malware delivered over one of the caliphate's preferred social media, Telegram. The first stage of infection aims at privilege escalation. Subsequent stages vary, apparently, with the attacker's intentions. There's no attribution, but it's also no secret that ISIS's opponents are actively targeting the group. The U.S. Air Force reported to Congress last week on cyber combat operations. Air Force Vice Chief of Staff General Stephen Wilson, in a written report to the U.S. House and Senate Armed Services Committees, said, quote, "The Air Force conducted 4,000 cyber missions against more than 100,000 targets, disrupting adversaries and enabling over 200 high-value individual kill-capture missions," end quote. This is consistent with a broader trend toward full integration of cyber with other military operations by all the American services. Some observers perceive an increase in the Egyptian government's online surveillance and traffic interception efforts. Their conclusions or suspicions are that such efforts are principally driven by domestic security concerns. Sources close to the Italian government tell The Guardian and Reuters that Italy's foreign ministry sustained a 4-month-long cyber attack in 2016. non-classified systems were successfully penetrated. Classified systems are said to have resisted compromise. The Russian government is suspected of responsibility, which will surprise few. The CyberWire, of course, is out at RSA 2017, where the highlight of the conference's first day is the annual Innovation Sandbox. A kind of security startup Olympics, the Innovation Sandbox seeks to select the year's most innovative information security companies and products. RSA solicits applications, and receives a lot of them, and then selects 10 finalists to compete before the judges at this annual San Francisco conference. The final presentations are underway. We expect the judges to announce the winner at 4:30 Pacific time today. The past winners include some impressive names. SourceFire took the prize at the first Sandbox back in 2005. They won for their suite of enterprise threat management solutions, from next-generation security platform through advanced malware protection. This Maryland-born unicorn was bought by Cisco in 2013 for $2.7 billion. Imperva, activity monitoring, protection, and risk management specialist, won in 2006. Their 2011 IPO raised $90 million. Yagi Security Systems was, according to RSA, the inventor of behavior-based blocking technology in the form of a hardware-based computer security solution. They had raised an additional $2.8 million in capital within a year of winning in 2007, and in 2011 they exited in an acquisition by CUP. In 2009, Alert Enterprise won for its pioneering work in the convergence of logical and physical security. They raised $27 million in two rounds of venture funding after taking top honors at RSA. Altor, 2010's winner, took the prize for virtualization and cloud security solutions. After raising $16 million in two venture funding rounds, they were acquired that same year by Juniper Networks. 2011's winner, Invincia, was in the news last week over its acquisition by Sophos for $100 million. The work that earned them distinction has been in advanced endpoint protection that combines containerization, threat detection, and response. AppThority has continued to go strong since winning in 2012. The App Risk Management Shop has raised a total of $25.25 million in equity funding since the appearance in the Sandbox. Remotium was recognized in 2013 for its BYOD-enabling mobile security technology. Avast bought them in 2015. In 2014, Red Owl Analytics won for its risk oversight software solutions for compliance and investigations. They've since attracted $21.6 million in equity investment. Waratech's runtime application self-protection for apps in data center, hybrid, or public clouds took the honors in 2015. Headquartered in Dublin, they continue to go strong with a North American base in Atlanta. And last year, Phantom won for its solution addressing diverse threats in complex environments and the scarcity of expert security personnel. Since winning, they've closed $13.5 million in funding from Kleiner Perkins. To make the final 10 is a pretty big deal. Any finalist over the years would be worthy of serious industry and investor attention, and this year's class is no different. The 2017 finalists are Baffle of Santa Clara, California. The company takes its mission to be making data breaches irrelevant. Their deep encryption is applied immediately and stays with the data it protects, whether the data is at rest, in motion, or in use. Cato Networks of Alpharetta, Georgia and Tel Aviv, Israel. They offer a software-defined cloud-based secure enterprise network that connects branch locations, physical and cloud data centers, and mobile users in a secure, optimized network. Clarity of Tel Aviv and New York. The company provides a single, holistic, secure platform for operational technology, securing such highly valuable and highly sensitive installations as power plants and offshore rigs. Contrast Security of Los Altos, California. Contrast holds out the promise of self-protecting software enabled by deep security instrumentation. Envail, too secure to really tell you where they're from, but to us they look like neighbors from Laurel around, say, the Johns Hopkins APL. Envail offers a scalable framework whose homomorphic encryption lets enterprises work on data without ever decrypting it. Great Horn of Belmont, Massachusetts. Great Horn has an automated policy engine that comes pre-configured, ready to install to protect an enterprise from highly targeted attacks in real time, spoofed emails, homograph domain attacks, and financial fraud attempts. Redlock of Hyderabad, India and Menlo Park, California. They offer a platform that makes enterprise security easy with a cloud-native architecture, workload behavior monitoring, and out-of-the-box policy packs and templates. Unify ID of San Francisco. They combine implicit authentication with machine learning in ways that uniquely identify you, and they promise to make remembering passwords a thing of the past. Uplevel of New York. They apply advanced data science to information culled from internal systems and external sources, and they use it to deliver automation throughout incident response. And Veriflow of San Jose, California. Veriflow delivers a solution that serves reliability. Their continuous network verification technology predicts and verifies availability and security, getting ahead of outages and vulnerabilities, whatever their source. Good luck to them all. If recent history is any guide, all 10 of the finalists are companies worth watching, and watching closely. And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Malek Ben-Salem. She's the head of R&D at Accenture Technology Labs. Malek, you wanted to tell us about data mining and how that may affect privacy. What do we need to know here?
Yeah, so data mining is a process of identifying interesting and unknown patterns and discovering new and meaningful insights from data. And with the advent of big data and the availability of public databases that collect a lot of data about consumers and that sell that data to other third parties, there is an increased concern about privacy. So new data mining techniques are known as PPDM, or privacy-preserving data mining techniques, have emerged in order to protect consumers' privacy. And those can be classified, actually, in two different approaches. One tries to hide or protect the sensitive data, the raw sensitive data itself. And other techniques focus on protecting the sensitive results or the outcome of the data mining process.
Yeah, I was thinking, I guess this would most, you know, organizations that are subject to various regulations and restrictions and so forth, because, you know, when I think of data mining, mostly what I think of are, you know, organizations who want to know what I'm buying and you know, what I'm clicking on Amazon and things like that, who, you know, it seems to me are not at all interested in protecting my privacy when they're mining my data.
Yeah, that is true, but I think that will change because a lot of the data breaches have not only just a reputational cost for these organizations, but they may have a tangible cost in terms of the consumers actually switching to other service providers. So it's in the interest of these organizations. We understand that they need to collect data and they need to use it in order to customize their services or personalize their services to their consumers. But they also have an interest in protecting that data if they really want to gain the trust of their clients. These techniques vary, so they're not that sophisticated to implement. You can just rely on data distribution, whether horizontally or vertically, meaning that you store the data you collect in different places, and you segment that data, if we're talking about a relational database, for example, along certain columns or along certain rows, so that the data becomes distributed, so that no single party has access to all of the data. Or you can use, there are, you know, new techniques based on cryptography, like secure multi-party computation, that can be used also to perform some of these computations on data, although a lot of theoretical progress has been made for several multi-party computational techniques. But when it comes to evaluating communication and computational costs, we haven't made as much progress.
All right, interesting stuff. Something to keep an eye on. Malek Ben-Salem, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.